Talking today with Mr. Clay Pope. He is the
author of the Southern Plains Perspective blog, and he also hosts the Southern Plains Perspective podcast. So, Mr. Pope, will you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came up with the idea to have this podcast and this blog?
Well, I've been involved in conservation and natural resource work for a long time. Starting in 2014, started working with the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub. I work under an agreement with NRCS in support of the hub there that's at the Agricultural Research Facility at Fort Reno. And working on the podcast and the blog, really is a way of outreach on some of the issues that we're dealing with as far as some of the challenges that we're seeing on the natural resource side from some of the effects of our changing climate. Trying to use it as a tool to get information out there, both on things that are being developed on the research side at ARS, but also those tools under NRCS. Some of the things that are out there that producers can look at, not just from the federal government, but also from the private sector, to help them deal with extreme weather events like droughts and floods, challenges we've seen from wildfire, trying to come up with strategies to help them not only deal with some of those things that we are seeing due to the changing climate, but also hopefully help their bottom lines as well. You know, we've been kind of excited. That's one of the nice things about my job, is that 9 times out of 10, the things that we ask producers to look at, to consider, to deal with some of these extreme weather events are some of the same things that also help deal with some of the challenges of soil erosion, non-point source pollution, some of these other natural resource issues that you might not necessarily put in conjunction with climate change, but have a direct impact and a direct linkage. But those also are the same things that you want to do to help lower your input costs, help control fuel costs, help improve fertilizer efficiency, do some of those things that hopefully can help your productivity, your profitability, really increase your bottom line, help you find some savings. So that's kind of what we wanted to use the tool for, is to help get that information out, provide an avenue for some of that information to go out to the farmers and ranchers of Oklahoma, and hopefully give them a little something to think about and something they can use.
Absolutely. And so your target audience is those farmers and ranchers in Oklahoma. And I know that your last two blog posts were about the drought that everyone is facing. What do you think some of the biggest highlights from those two blog posts were?
Well, I know when you think about the drought and the dry weather, you see where we're at as far as, you know, the information that came out from the Mesonet, as the amount of the, you know, what are we now? I think it's the driest period that we saw. It was the driest period that we saw from the end of June through the end of July, I think, in the history of record keeping in the state of Oklahoma. And now the temperatures that we're seeing, not just in Oklahoma but in Texas and also in Kansas for that matter, really do kind of mirror up with what we saw in that drought period from 2011 to 2015. And that's probably the biggest thing that gives me pause, is that we are kind of running through a cycle similar to what we saw from 11 to 15. And, you know, that's from so much of this area is the drought of record now, worse than what we saw in the 50s, worse than what we saw in the Dust Bowl. And the concern is that with this triple dip La Nina, that we may be moving in that direction again. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to, hopefully leading up to that, we were trying to get producers to think a little bit about, do you have a drought plan? You know, do you have some ideas as what you're going to do when that dry weather hits? Trying to encourage producers, if you look over the last few months on the blog, to try to think about some options to maybe reduce their exposure to extreme weather, whether it be controlling wind erosion from the dry conditions after you've harvested, especially winter wheat, going out and working that ground up, doing things to try to address soil erosion, make sure that ground stays in place, but also to make sure that when it does rain, that you can hold on to that as much of that moisture as you possibly can. And that's really been the things that we've been trying to hit, to get people to think about and really look at. And, hopefully we'll give them a little food for thought, and producers then have been able to use some of those tools to maybe get a little bit ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. Well, that's a valuable resources for these producers here in Oklahoma. So what are you thinking for your next blog post?
Well, actually, I've got one that I just, of course, obviously, I'm a contractor with NRCS. What we do generally goes through the chain of command with USDA. I'm going to toot my child's horn just a little bit. I'm pretty proud. My daughter, Madeline, my middle daughter, just won the natural resource speech contest at 4-H Roundup over at Stillwater this last week, and as fate would have it, her talk was about climate smart agriculture and how it can help producers' bottom lines while also helping them deal with these challenges we've been talking about. And so actually I'm going to let Maddie have the blog space for the most part. I'm putting a little intro in there, but I'm just taking her speech that she wrote and that I'm mighty proud of her, that she was able to have the chance to give over at Stillwater, one at the county level and then one at the state level. And it's going to be talking about that, which, you know, is actually kind of timely, because when you stop and think about some of the discussions that are going on in D.C. right now about trying to maybe get some tools out there, get some additional resources out to help producers deal with some of these challenges. You know, that's one of the things. We actually had a seminar this last week in Enid talking about climate smart agriculture and how the economic impacts of it. So much times people think, well, you think climate change, you think about, well, it's a regulation, it's going to negatively affect my operation. But as I said before, these are also the same things that if you look at the studies, Conservation Commission has got a study out there where they've worked with some of their cooperators here in Oklahoma and saw increases in yields while seeing decreases in input costs. You know, we've seen that in our family's farming operation. NACD has a similar study. We also had Oklahoma State come in and talk about their research on multi-species grazing and patch burning, you know, for pastures, trying to do things to better prepare you for extreme weather, and at the same time, increase the profitability of the producers that they go down through this. And so that's the thing I really want to get out there. So for people, you know, that's the fun, again, the fun thing about this work, and a lot of it, you know, for people who have known me before know that I worked a lot on soil health over the years with the conservation districts, and that's actually kind of carried over into what I do for the Hub. I'll say it before and I'll say it again, you know, so many times we think about environmental work and agriculture as being at loggerheads, but this is one area where I truly believe everybody can come around the fire and sing kumbaya for a little while, because there's something in it. Whether you believe in climate change or not, everybody believes in droughts and floods. Whether you're concerned about the environmental impact, everybody wants to, if you can find ways to save on fertilizer and fuel, everybody's looking for that. If there's ways you can improve your profitability off your grazing operation, everybody wants to try to do those things. Because, hell, farming's not a charity operation. We're in it. It's a business. You got to make money. The good news is that you can make money doing these things that also help you control erosion, help you protect the water, help you hang on to that moisture when it rains, helps you really get ready for those challenges. And that's the message we like to tell. Maddie did a better job than me with her speech, and so I'm kind of tickled to brag on her just a little bit on what she did.
Well, it does sound like your next blog post is going to be really special. Well, for those who don't already subscribe, how can people get subscribed to the blog and the podcast?
We have several ways. Well, I do have just Google Southern Plains Perspective, you know, and that's where we actually have a website that has not only our podcast episodes, linked to our podcast episodes, but also has all of our blog posts, also has some of the videos that we've put up over the years that we, from time to time, will put up a YouTube video. Both from producers, from folks in the industry. I mentioned Oklahoma State, Dr. Goodman at Oklahoma State, that was one of the leaders of this multi-species grazing effort. We've got her an interview with her that's up on the website. Just Google Southern Plains Podcast, or you can go to the USDA Southern Plains Climate Hub website, and there's a link that goes to it as well. We're also on Apple and iTunes and all the other nice places where you can pick up podcasts. So, and of course, the Radio Oklahoma Network, the Ag Report that goes out every day on the internet and on your website. We're very happy and excited that you guys partnered with us and help us as far as promoting this information as well. So a lot of ways to do it, and we hope folks can check it out and hope they enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Pope.